Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
UCLA is a university with unlimited possibilities for students that desire world-class academics and research, unmatched diversity, incredible cultural and social opportunities, successful alumni and career networking, first-class campus facilities, plus America's top intercollegiate sports teams. Located in Westwood, just a few miles from the Pacific Ocean, UCLA's one-square-mile campus is surrounded by famous cities such as Bel Air, Beverly Hills, Brentwood, and Santa Monica.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Westwood for another edition of UCLA Bruin Talk. With Naomi Manea, I'm Dave Marcus. We're glad to have you with us. Today, we're going to talk to some athletes who are getting ready for the most important part of their season.
Before we meet our first guests, let's take a look at this week's upcoming events.
After some early season struggles, the UCLA men's volleyball team is getting ready for tournament time. The Bruins had a 7-game win streak snapped a couple of weeks ago, but with the tournaments coming up soon, you know they're getting ready for some critical action. And we're very happy to have a couple of members of the volleyball team join us, Ryle Jade and Matt Hanley. Welcome to UCLA Bruin Talk.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Matt, Bruins 15-11, you've had kind of an up-and-down season, but you were on a real roll for a while.
Yeah, we're on a great roll. We had 7 games in a row. We're playing really well. If we play that well and play that confident, then this tournament should hopefully come out pretty well.
Al Skates, your coach, he's been through it all. He's seen everything. Ryle, what kind of messages do you get from Coach Skates when you get down toward the end of the season?
Coach Skates gets real intense at the end of the season, and lately he's been pushing us to get everything perfect, all the details. Coach Rofer and JT, Coach Greg are just pushing us to do the best we can right now and make the final push to the playoffs and hopefully get a championship out of it.
You are both outside hitters on the team. What's the most important part of your role?
I'd probably say passing, just because for volleyball at least everything starts with a pass. So, and for the outside hitter, you know, we're in the back row half the time, so we got to make sure that back there we have to, you know, control the back row, pass well, dig well, get some balls up, I'd say passing, but it's really everything. It's hitting and, you know, playing defense and transition. It's really a package position.
Ryle, when you were in high school, you were a great wide receiver on the football team. Now, at 6'3" and wide receiver, you're pretty big.
Yeah.
6'3" outside hitter, you're always going up against guys that are bigger than you. How has that transition been for you?
I mean, I love going up against bigger people. Makes me, you know, gets more competitive that way for me. I was always kind of a bigger guy in football, and playing volleyball, I'm now one of the shortest kids on the court. So it's been not a smooth transition, but I take it. I love the competition.
You know, we talk sometimes about people that are born to fill certain roles. Your family and UCLA Volleyball Alumni Association, not only your sister Nikki, who played for Andy Banikowski's team, but your mom, Kim, who coached for Andy Banikowski for 15 years. Yep. You've always had blue and gold in your blood, haven't you?
Oh, yes, since birth.
And what's it like actually getting out there wearing the UCLA uniform?
It's a dream come true, being accepted to play football and volleyball here. I mean, nothing else can get better than that. So it's been a dream come true, and hopefully we get the championship and it will be complete.
Matt, you're also a Southern California guy. When did UCLA kind of pop into your head?
I didn't really get recruited very much out of high school. It was kind of a surprise kind of deal. I got recruited by Santa Barbara and UCLA on the same day, and it was really late in the whole process, and kind of overwhelming, and I was, very exciting. My parents were ecstatic, and my mom went to UCLA, so I kind of figured that maybe I should continue the tradition.
You mentioned earlier that you were recruited for both football and volleyball. What made you decide to focus on volleyball?
It became more of a body function thing. I went through a couple injuries that put me down a little bit. And volleyball, I mean, these guys have been my brothers ever since we came here. And they let me come in and never really treated me as an outsider. So it was easy to go play volleyball and just become the volleyball player instead of a dual sport athlete.
Let's talk about outside hitter. I mean, that's a kill position. You got to put it away from out there.
Yes, sir.
At 6'3", what are your challenges?
Obviously, the block. You have 6'8ers, 9ers out there trying to absolutely roof you, and we just have to figure a way to put the ball down any way we can. Just got to be crafty out there.
And Matt, I'm going to ask you the same question because you're the same height, 6'3".
Yeah.
What have been the challenges for you going up against guys, probably didn't face guys like that in high school?
Yeah, no, and definitely didn't face guys like that in high school. We're really lucky here to have some of the best opposites and setters in the nation, so we get to go up against those guys in practice. And, you know, Kyle Caldwell's a perfect example. He's pretty sure he's 6'9", and he's just a huge kid. And so we get to swing against him, and swinging against him is, probably just as hard as swinging against any other opposite that we're going to come up against. So it's great practice, and we just got to try to tool the block and work around it.
You know, at 6'3", you're probably working on tooling the block,
yeah,
getting it to fly off the court than you would be if you were hitting down from 6'9".
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Would you say that's a part of your game, that you really have to be more creative than some of the bigger guys?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely at times. Definitely need to be more creative, I'd say.
Have there been any efforts to move you to different positions, or are you guys pretty locked in where you are?
I started out as a libero, actually, which is the passing position that doesn't go front row, because I was a little smaller when I came in to UCLA, but I've grown a little bit, and I can jump decently well, so I've moved to outside, and I'm pretty sure I'm not going anywhere.
And I've stuck it outside my whole career. It's just been a fun spot. It's kind of more of a fire spot, so I fit in there well.
As a wide receiver, you have to be able to adjust in midair for the ball. I imagine the same thing. Although you got good passers at UCLA, you've got to be able to adjust pretty well when,
yes,
the passes aren't quite there.
Exactly.
Tell us about the team. What should we expect as tournament time approaches?
Well, everybody's been absolutely focused this past week. We've had two really good practices, and you can tell it's kind of flipped the switch. We had that tough loss to UCSD, which everybody looked at as, yeah, it was terrible, but we have to move on because playoffs are here, and we have to beat them. We have to beat everybody now. It's die or go home.
I want to talk a little bit about Tom Amberg, your big gun, who hasn't been able to play all the year because he's been suffering from an injured hand. I saw him playing earlier in the season. It looked like he had an oven mitt on. I don't know how he even got out there with it.
Yeah.
How has his absence, in a sense, made the rest of your team stronger?
With Amberg gone, we have a bunch of other middles that are very, very, very good. Phil Darren, Nick Vogel, who was starting last year for a little while, Max Greer, who comes up from the second court a bunch, and these are all middles that come up and, in Amberg's absence have to, step up and play really well, and the middle position is really tough to come into either a starting position or even, playing against those, the other middles like Wes Dunlap and stuff like that. So, but they've all stepped it up a lot, and it's been great. They're all getting a lot better, and it's making Amberg better as well.
Looking forward to conference play, what are some of the teams that you guys think are going to be your biggest competition?
SC is always our biggest competition just because of the rivalry. But, we take it head on. We don't mind it. And, we've lost to them a couple times, but we'll be coming after them.
Yeah.
Ryle, you're an upperclassman. What are some of the lessons you've learned in your first couple of years you've been able to pass on to some of the younger players on the team?
This program is very different. It's not a regular volleyball program, seeing that there's almost 45 kids on the team and there is a blue curtain that you have to get sent down sometimes to. there's two courts, and, you know, it's just patience. It has to be patience with Coach Skates, and there's a method to his madness. There really is. He's won 19 national championships for a reason, and we just got to keep focused on that idea, that whole idea right there. But we just got to keep listening to our coaches and, you know, backing each other up, just like we have been doing. So, and we'll be safe. We'll be good.
Matt, are there times when Coach Skates is laying down the law and you have to take a step back? This guy's a legend. I mean, does the moment hit you, or is it the content of his words at that moment?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, and I would say every time in practice there's a time that Coach Skates makes us laugh with something he says or something he does, but I'm pretty sure that there's not one player on our team that doesn't understand that he's, you know, he's been around the game longer than any of us have by, you know, triple. And, you know, 19 national championships speaks for itself.
As we're coming towards the later part in your season, do workouts change at all? What are workouts like for you guys right now?
Our workouts have decreased. Yeah. We don't use our legs much because we're jumping all the time. And for us short guys, it's kind of nice because we get to use all our legs in practice. But we just lost our weight coach, Coach Sowers, and we got Coach Yu now. Hopefully he's going to stick with us for a little bit and just work through our season right now. But our workouts aren't very tough. We just go in there, make sure we're functioning, and if there's injuries, we do stuff around that. But we get in there 2 times a week.
Well, how about working on your vertical? Was that mostly done in the fall? Was it done in the summer? When do you really work on building up those fast twitch muscles?
The vertical and all the hard workouts are at the beginning in fall. We have 2-hour workouts, and then we have to go to a 3-hour jumping practice. So our legs are pretty fried then, and we get used to it throughout the season. So that was just the tempo there, is to get us as tired as possible at the beginning of the season, so we jump through it, and then our vertical is increased.
Your former home, Pauley Pavilion's been closed. You've seen the last of it, but it had to be kind of fun playing with all the festivities going on, commemorating the great tradition of Pauley Pavilion and UCLA volleyball.
Yeah, it was really nice. I was I registered last year, so this was my actual first year to get to play in Pauley Pavilion, and it was everything I'd hoped it to be, and it was really awesome being in there. And I'm hoping that, you know, by the time I'm a senior, maybe junior, it'll reopen and I can play in the new Pauley Pavilion.
Yeah,
as well.
From all accounts, we aren't going to recognize the place.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be really something when they get it finished.
I hope so.
How about in school? What is your area that you've picked to study?
I've chose history as my major, just because it was kind of my best subject in high school. It's not very hard for me to, you know, deal with, and so I've kind of focused there. But I've also been taking some other classes that I find interesting right now. I'm taking a screenwriting class that's pretty awesome right now. I'm enjoying it. Get to write a movie, so that'll be pretty fun.
And Ryle, you've had to make the transition from UCLA family to UCLA student.
Yes.
And going out for 2 sports at that. How's your studying been?
You know, I'm a history major, and with history comes a lot of books and reading. But it comes pretty naturally to me. History is a fun subject, and I pick it up pretty easy. So doing both sports was kind of a factor in picking a history major.
Well, guys, we wish you the best of luck as the season rounds into the final days, and best of luck in the tournament, and I hope that we'll see you up there bringing UCLA another banner.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll come right back for more UCLA Bruin Talk after this brief public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions meet here.
Welcome back to Bruin Talk. Before we meet our next guests, let's take a look at this week's Athlete of the Week. This week, we honor Jessica Hall of the softball team as our Student Athlete of the Week. Hall maintains a 14-4 record. In a recent game against Oregon State, she retired 9 consecutive hitters. Her walks also brought in 2 runs for the Bruins. In a matchup against UCSB, she struck out 7 batters and gave up just 1 unearned run. She also hit a single to the left field, which brought in a run for the Bruins, and on her next at-bat, she hit a home run. As a freshman, Jessica is off to a great start in her collegiate career, and we wish her the best. Congratulations, Jessica, and good luck to the rest of her team. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at www.uclabruins.com.
And we are very excited to talk to a couple of guys who put the field in track and field. The field events are fascinating. Individual events take a lot of different kinds of skills, and we have a good cross-section today. We welcome Michael Wepsey and Alec Faldermeyer to Bruin Talk, a pole vaulter and a thrower. And Alec, let's start with the throwing. It's as old as time, I guess. Just see how far you can throw something. You throw the hammer. That's quite a specialized event.
Exactly, it is. It's not a very common event. Not a lot of people know about it in track and field, but it's a very difficult event to learn, and it's very exciting to watch. And I think in our upcoming dual meets, a lot of people are going to see that.
How does somebody get into that?
Well, it's kind of random. I had a teacher at my school who was an excellent coach, and I started off in shot put and discus like a lot of throwers, and found out that I didn't like them as much, and so I moved on to the hammer throw, which I just fell in love with. It was definitely my events for me.
Well, two of the things that are most striking when you come to a track and field meet, you see the big cage around the hammer, and you see the big pole vault bar. That's always something that draws the fan favorite. Michael, you kind of went into the family business, following the footsteps of your brother Greg, your dad a great pole vaulter. Is that what got you interested?
Yeah, I mean, my dad was a good pole vaulter, a really good pole vaulter. He was on a couple Pan Am teams and just kind of set it up for us. And then when we got older, he introduced the sport to us. And my sister was actually the first one that did it. So she also pole vaulted here for 4 years and had a really good career. And then my brother got into it, and then I got into it. So
people that haven't tried it probably look down to think, oh, I could do that. It's not as easy as it looks, is it?
No, it's not. Especially if you don't understand it. There's been a couple people that have just tried it, and it ends up being terrible. Once you have an idea of it, it's not as difficult as it looks, but it's definitely not an easy sport.
Being from Tustin, California, have you always wanted to come to UCLA, or how did your interest
begin? Yeah, it's been my dream to come to UCLA for pretty much my entire life, especially once my sister and my older brother came here. My mom went here, too, so we've been Bruin fans our whole life, and once my older siblings went there, it was where I wanted to be.
Mike came from modern day. Alec, you came from New Hampton, New York. That's a long trip to Westwood.
It is.
How did you endure your first California winter?
Oh, it was so difficult. Yeah, going from 10-degree winters in New York to 75-degree winter days in California was a little bit difficult for me. It was a little bit of a culture shock. But I'm certainly enjoying it now a lot more than I enjoyed winters in New York.
And it probably helps your training a lot. You can train year-round here.
Absolutely. That was the number one reason I wanted to come somewhere warm when I went to college. And this was just the absolute perfect place for me. I mean, you can't get better weather than this.
So. See, back there, it's two events. It's the hammer throw, then the hammer find.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we'll have 3 feet of snow out there, and we'll be looking for an hour for our hammers, and feet will get wet, and it's cold, and it just makes you not want to do anything.
There's also an indoor event. People don't know this, and I didn't know this before we started chatting. There's an indoor throw event where you're basically throwing a 35-pound brick, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Tell us about the indoor throw.
Well, the 35-pound weight throw is the indoor version of the hammer because hammer goes quite a long distance if you throw it well, and it would be difficult to do indoors, safely at least. So instead of the hammer being, you know, about a meter long, we have the weight that's a little over a foot long, and about a foot and a half long, and it weighs 35 pounds instead of the standard 16-pound hammer. So it goes a lot, you know, it doesn't go as far. So we throw it in the same type of technique that we do with the hammer, and it's the same type of ring and everything, so it's just basically the indoor equivalent.
Mike, there's always been indoor pole vaulting, outdoor pole vaulting. The records have usually been fairly similar, although more on the outdoor. Right. What's the biggest difference for you, vaulting indoors as opposed to outdoors?
Well, indoors just takes a couple of variables out of the pole vault, the wind being one of them. So it makes it easier in some senses, but like the outdoor world record's higher than the indoor world record, because if you get the right wind, it's a really good advantage. But if you're indoors, it takes wind out of it, so you can't get a bad wind. And it just kind of makes the variables less. So you're more consistent indoors, and you're usually on an elevated runway, so you can hear your footsteps, and you feel like you're moving faster, which just helps your confidence. So they both have their advantages and disadvantages.
Both of your sports are specialized sports, as we mentioned before. How do you train for them, and what kind of workouts or weight regimens go into it?
Well, I know for the throws, the hammer is a completely different event than the shot put, discus, and javelin, which have some similarities. But it takes a lot of weight training. We do in-season 3 days a week, out-of-season 4 days a week of heavy lifting generally. You know, out-of-season we do high volume, high intensity, and then the volume slowly goes down. But it takes mostly a lot of technical work. I mean, I'm by far the weakest thrower on the team right now. And I can still throw the hammer very far because I have a pretty solid technical background. I've had excellent coaches in high school, and now Coach Maynard is also an excellent coach. So really, technique is the most important part, and I'm sure it's absolutely the same with vault.
Yeah, technique is huge. It's kind of hard to work on because there's so many aspects in pole vaulting, and it's tough to work on one part of the jump because you have to do all of them. But a lot of the training you do is a lot of body weight stuff, a lot of gymnastics and high bar, stuff to give you body control so that you know where you are in the air. And then also weightlifting is important, and then running endurance. We do a lot of bounding, a lot of sprinting. And in the fall, it's more long distance stuff. We run 200s just to build our legs up and get strong.
You made a comment about hearing your footsteps on the runway when you're indoors. How much of it is sprint work? You really are flying down that runway.
Yeah, I mean, you want to be as fast as possible when you hit the box. So a lot of you need to be, your fast twitch muscles have to be firing. So once you get into like this time of the season, it's flying 40s, 50s, and just trying to feel good. You know, it's kind of more rest and short endurance stuff than long endurance trying to build up.
And you have to find a way to translate that forward motion into vertical motion.
Yeah.
What are some of the keys in making sure you translate that speed on the runway into a great vault?
Well, like coming in, the run goes slow to fast, so your fastest at the end of your run, and to translate that into height, your last three steps usually try and be shorter than your other strides, so you're setting yourself up to jump, kind of like if you're dunking a basketball or doing a layup. You take that forward momentum and kind of chop your steps down and then jump.
I have to ask, I know in gymnastics, most vaulters, in the gymnastics sense of the word, have a specific number of steps they take, and they have the exact same run down the runway every time. Is that the same deal with pole vaulting?
Yes, absolutely. Most pole vaulters run from a 9-stride run, which is 18 steps, and some run from an 8, but it's the same every time you run from the same marks. It keeps it consistent, and you need to definitely be consistent on the run in order to pole vault.
Alec, you guys are both in very specialized individual events, but you're part of a team when you come to college. Tell us some of the things that the team does to build camaraderie amongst the different events.
Well, one of the great things, I think, is how Coach Maynard sets up the rooming, actually. I am roommate, me and Mike are roommates, so he sets it up so that no one athlete in a certain event group, you know, throws, sprints, distance, rooms with another person in that same event group. So I live with a vaulter, we have sprinters and throwers, distance. We also live with two distance guys. So that's really a great part of building the team camaraderie. Also, you know, bringing back the dual meets is a great part because it's no longer, you know, how did I do in my individual event, what's my mark, what's my time. It's now, how many points did you get for the team? Is the team going to win overall? And it's really a great way of building up the teamwork and everything.
Yeah, we spoke with Coach Maynard about that when he was on our show last month. And I remember the era when the dual meets were a big deal in Los Angeles. Huge crowds. And I know he's hoping to get back to that. Let's talk about, Mike, the crowd. Do you block them out when you're on the runway? Are you even aware there's people in the stands?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feed off the energy in the crowd. It's the most fun part is enjoying it and hearing the crowd cheer for you. Kind of makes you more excited, and it makes everybody else excited, so it makes it fun. But, yeah, we hear a lot about how back in the day the dual meets used to be sold out at Drake Stadium, so we're just trying to get back to that. We had a pretty good turnout for the Tennessee meet, and it made a lot of fun to compete, and we're hoping to get a big turnout for the Oregon dual meet coming up. So,
being a freshman, what is or are your favorite experiences so far?
Well, for me, it was pretty awesome to be able to go to indoor NCAAs as a freshman. And Mike redshirted indoor freshman year, or else I'm sure he would have gone as well. So that was a pretty exciting experience for me. I don't know about you.
Well, yeah, I wasn't there. But putting the UCLA jersey on for the first time and competing for UCLA was was an honor and was a lot of fun. Didn't go as good as I was hoping, but it was still an honor and still fun. And one of the biggest surprises once I got to UCLA was how team-oriented everything was. I didn't expect that at all, but everyone's in the same boat. Everybody wants to win national championships, and everybody works as hard as they can to achieve that every day. So it makes it a great environment to train in, and just being a part of a team like that has been the most special thing.
And you get a chance to mix with athletes from other sports at UCLA.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everybody's in Acosta, our training, and like where our locker rooms are. So everybody is always in there, and everyone's lifting at the same time. Sometimes we're lifting with we're in there a lot with the tennis team, and we're sometimes in there with the volleyball team. So everyone's working hard, and it just makes it a really positive environment and makes your energy go up, so you're training hard.
Alec, tell us your thoughts when you found out UCLA had some interest in you.
I was pretty shocked, to be honest with you. You know, I'd been looking at a lot of other places. Obviously, I wanted to go somewhere warm away from New York winters, but UCLA was actually the last school that got in contact with me. They were the latest, and Coach Maynard was actually the only coach that never came out to New York and visited me. But when I found out he was interested, I talked to him on the phone a couple times. I got an official visit right away. And when I came out here, I was amazed at everything, and I knew right away this is where I wanted to go.
What is your off-season training like?
We do a lot of heavy lifting to build up for the season. We do a lot of plyometrics and ab workouts and things like that. Basically, it's just it's staying in shape and trying to build your strength levels and your technique level to a point where you're going to be ready to go at the beginning of the season and not, you know, have to build up over a long period of time. But we especially technique work we do a lot of, because you have, you know, those few months where you can really focus on just the technique and not have to worry about competing. And it really helps. That's probably the most helpful part of the season in terms of improving your technique.
Like a lot of great UCLA athletes, these gentlemen know that championships are not won on the day of the event. They're won in the time preparing for the event. John Wooden's favorite saying, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. And at UCLA, they take that very seriously. Guys, it's great having you in here. We're really looking forward to following you through your careers and helping build UCLA track and field back up and getting those crowds in Drake Stadium.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
And thank you for joining us. Naomi and I will be back next time with another great show. Until then, so long from Westwood.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.